Hey, Workday Playdate peeps. Now, I know you know that this space is all about real talk. It's all about play and it's all about leadership. But today, we're going to get a little deep. April is Infertility Awareness Month. We are talking about taking initiative and creative risks on this show. And I have to tell you, I felt very pulled to take initiative and take a creative risk. This might be many risks at once, and share something very close to my heart with you. Now, when we talk about infertility, we usually talk about having a child for the first time. But what about when you want to grow your family and your body says, not so fast, girl? That is called secondary infertility, and it's a huge issue that so many face, but hardly anyone talks about. So today we're going to pull back the curtain on this, and I'm going to share a story with you that is very personal, very private, and something that I felt very called to share. Now, if you're new here, welcome, first and foremost. I'm so glad to have you a part of this Peeps crew. And if you have not heard, even if you're not new, the story about my first fertility journey, I want you to go back to episode 49 of this show. It's called Failures in Fertility, Why Sharing Our Stories Matter. Because stories like this, they matter. You can find that link in the show notes. You can also go on our website, learntoimproveit.com/podcast page. Clearly, I'm nervous, y'all, because I can't use words. And you can just search infertility and it will pop up, but it's episode 49. And just to give a quick backstory on that, my son Jackson is a very miracle baby boy. My husband and I had several years of infertility, and then we got tested for genetic testing and found out that we both shared a genetic disorder called GJB2, which is hearing loss and deafness. And so the odds of both man and woman having the same genetic mutation is very, very unlikely. And so we found out that not only am I a carrier, but John is a carrier on both chromosomes. So we had a 75% chance of our son being born deaf. We also had a lot of trouble just conceiving in general. So get to that episode, get the full story on Jackson on episode 49. I will just leave it there and let you know that he was born. He's about almost 6 years old, and he is an incredibly talkative, vibrant, energetic, amazing human who can hear and is very healthy. So we are so blessed in that way. Now, I want to talk about why secondary infertility matters, because it actually affects one in five couples who have had a child before, but who struggle to conceive again. And it comes with a lot of unique challenges. People assume, oh, at least you already have one, which minimizes the pain of not being able to have another. It's also rarely discussed in leadership or work settings because of the stigma. And I will say that many women in leadership roles feel pressure to power through instead of addressing the emotional toll that this comes with. So today's episode is really for the parent sitting in silent grief because they thought that the second time would be easier. It's for the leader who feels guilty about wanting more for their family, but they struggle behind closed doors and don't bring any of that to the surface. And it's for anyone here who is navigating loss, navigating healing, and redefining what family means to them. So I am never nervous on this show, ever. And I don't know why my palms are like a bit sweaty right now, because I'm going to share this story with you. And it's a story that is real, and it's kind of still raw, but it happened last year in 2024. This episode is airing in April of 2025, so some time has passed. However, I'm saying this story here today because I know somebody listening right now, you or someone you know, needs it. So I'm going to fight through my own pain to share this with you today. Woo! And also, I just got a fake new set of eyelashes, so I cannot cry. Okay, they got to stay on. So let's get into it. So after our miracle baby boy Jackson was born, we weren't sure if we wanted another child. So just so you know, every embryo that we had going through IVF, we went through three rounds of IVF, had both my mutation and John's mutation. And we had one embryo that we never tested. And it had been sitting there for a long time. Since 2018, we had this embryo just frozen. And we weren't sure if it had the mutation. We weren't sure anything about it. We were always sort of wondering about this one embryo. So, you know, the pandemic, let me just say this. When Jackson was born, it was 2019, and I went on maternity leave. I came back from maternity leave in November of 2019, and then I was back for a few months, and then March of 2020 hit, and we all know what happened in March of 2020, the global pandemic, and I was really not only fighting to become a virtual business and keep Improve It afloat, I was also really trying to be a good parent and a good mom to my son, who was, you know, months old at the time. And at the same time, my mom had a stroke and literally almost died. So I was also parenting up. And I decided with John to move to Charleston from Chicago. So just like all of the life's most stressful life events that could have taken place took place in 2020. And I would say that it really sent me into sort of a cloud of trauma and just sort of hidden emotions. I stuffed everything down. I was trying to be strong for everyone. I was people-pleasing everyone in my life. I was trying to show up and be the best, brightest version of myself when really I was still healing from years of IVF and becoming a mother and finding my own identity and having my business stripped away from me from this global pandemic and struggling to identify myself as a new mom, working mom, stay-at-home, you know, working from home mom. And I developed chronic pain. And so if you go back in this show, there is a series called the Self-Healing Series, which it was able to heal myself from. Let me just say, I went to every doctor. I took every test. I tried everything to make this pain in my back go away. And it wasn't until I did the inner healing and the inner work that it finally did disappear. So all of that to say, that lasted from about 2020. And I think I finally came out of this healing journey in 2023, which is when I wrote the book, I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy. And then I got a concussion in 2023. And that was like the universe being like, you were talking a good talk, but you weren't walking the walk. Like, I need you to walk it. And so I would say 2024 was probably the year where I felt the most internally healed. And let it be known that I had been going through infertility treatments since about 2017. So 2017 to 2024, had a lot of trauma stored in my body that I had to do a lot of internal work to heal. And there's a whole series on that. I won't even get into that because today's episode is about secondary infertility. So finally, in 2024, I was in one of my healing modalities, Reiki. I'm a huge Reiki fan. I believe in energy healing and chakras. And in my Reiki session, I received a spiritual nudge to test the embryo that we had never tested. I'm trying to figure out how deep to go with y'all because I'm just going to say it. In the Reiki, I physically saw what looked like my daughter. She had my hair and John's face. And she said, "Hi, Mom." And then a spiritual figure came and walked her away because she said, "There's no space for me here. There's no space for me here." And so I went back and I talked to John and I said, "You know what? The whole time while we were doing IVF, John would administer the shots to me. And we always thought we were going to have a little girl. And we named that little girl Zoe. So when we found out Jackson was a boy, of course we were excited. But we really had thought we were going to have a little girl. And so every time we did a shot, we would say, 'This is for Zoe.'" So I said to him over dinner, we were out to dinner, just the two of us. I said to him, "I saw Zoe in my Reiki today. And I think we should test this embryo. And when I tell you that the server at the restaurant kept coming over to try to take our order and we were holding hands across the table in tears, I'm telling you, this server tried real hard and we're like, we have not looked at the menu yet. So that night we decided, okay, we'll test the embryo. And then the book launched in 2024. And that took me sort of on this 3-month book tour. So we finally, in about April of 2024, decided, okay, should we go through with this? Because what actually science can do at this point is unfreeze the embryo and they can test it for the genetic disorder and then refreeze it again. There's only like a slight percent of damage done to the embryo at this point. So back 5 years ago, once you froze an embryo, you could not genetically test it. So that's how fast science advanced 5 years from now, or, you know, 5 years from when we first did IVF. So I went back into a Reiki session just to make sure that this was the right decision. And I saw Zoe again. And some of you might be wondering, like, how did you see her? So Reiki, you're lying on a table and the healer is like just touching parts of your body very lightly to release any energy that might be stored in your chakras. You have 7 chakras in the body, and then release anything that's not serving you and restore them. And so for me, I slip into this meditative like state. It's almost like I feel like my body is elevated off the table and I'm just almost in a different dimension. So go as woo with me here as you like, but that's my own experience. And I saw Zoe again. And this time I saw her as an older version of her. She was about 19 years old. And she said, you know, I know you're not a fan of the baby phase, Mom. I love babies, but like it was hard, right? So she goes, but I needed you to see this version of me because I am here to finish your work. And I was just sobbing. And I don't know what that means, if it's improve it, whatever it is I'm here to do on this work. Our earth, I do know that I am here to be a source of good and a light worker and a healer for many. So I believe so strongly that she was going to be our child that I said, John, let's do this. And I told him what happened in that second Reiki session, and we started the process of testing the embryo. And that took about 2.5 months because there's a lot of things involved. You have to get timing with the lab. You know, you're just sort of waiting and shuffling papers and signing documents at that point. I didn't have to do anything. So we first got a call from our fertility place, and this is the same place that gave us Jackson. So we love them very much. And they said, well, we have some good news. We know the gender of the baby, and we know that it's chromosomally normal because they test for chromosomes first, and then they do the genetics. So this embryo looks good. Would you like to know the gender? And I was like, yes, of course. It's a girl. And I just lost it. So I told John, and obviously we were just beyond shocked. And at this point, we have shared the story with friends and family, very close friends and family, and just so people kind of could root for her, because we did that with Jackson as well. And I was in a meditation when I found, when I was given the download to look up the meaning of the name Zoe. And I did, and it means life. And I was also given her middle name, which was going to be Isabella, which means is beautiful or devoted to God. So her name, Zoe Isabella, life is beautiful or life devoted to God, was where we were going. So Zoe Isabella is real. It's happening. We're so excited. And we get a call a few weeks later that the genetic testing is in. And y'all, I can't make this up. Out of 8 embryos, she was the only embryo that was just a carrier of GJB2. So she had my genetic makeup. And when we found that out, I mean, every embryo that we had tested prior to that, including Jackson, which you can hear about in episode 49, was mutated on both chromosomes. So we had this perfect embryo, and we had a girl, and we were so in it. So we leaned on the support of our village. If you don't know about IVF, you have to go through what is called a transfer protocol in order to implant the embryo, which is like a one-month workup to the transfer. It includes shots, multiple shots a day, lots of medication. It's not something that you just like breeze through. And let me say this, had I gone through the transfer protocol anytime before that timing, I think I would have had panic attack after panic attack. But because I was so sure, and I believe so much in Zoe coming to life and being our daughter, that round of shots, like John was like, wow, I've never seen you so calm going through this, because guess what? That was my fourth transfer protocol. You know, obviously the shots are not fun. The medication did make me a little weird. I had to go off medication that I'm on for my head, for the concussion that I'm still healing from. And everything was fine. I felt at peace. I felt at ease. I felt like this is meant to be. And I really, truly felt like she was with me and that she was going to be here with us and that she was our daughter. And we talked about it like as if it was already happening. And we had thought about where the nursery would go and where we would put Jackson's room and what we would do and what we would change in our home in order to make her feel comfortable and give her space. And like I allowed space in my life. I even thought about 2025 and how I would have to go on maternity leave. And what would I tell my team? I mean, we went down the rabbit hole and we had so many people, our parents, our best friends praying for us, sending us love. We went to Chicago because that's where the embryo is or was and did sort of like a quiet transfer. We didn't tell anybody I was there besides my parents. I didn't really tell people the timing of the transfer because I just wanted to kind of be under the radar and give myself space and peace. And the day we went to the transfer, it was so beautiful. We had the same doctor that implanted Jackson, who I love. She was actually on this show, Dr. Angie Belsos, now of Kind Body, and was Bios Fertility in Chicago. She still to this day is the best doctor I've ever had. And the transfer was beautiful. I rested. The next 2 weeks, you're supposed to lay pretty low. So I tried to keep, you know, my anxiety at a minimum. I tried to stay calm. And I'll never forget when the nurse called me to tell me the news. I was like, just tell me, like, she's here. You know, I wasn't expecting it wouldn't happen. And so she called me at like 3 o'clock on a Friday. John was working. I said, hurry, hurry, hurry. And we ran into our bedroom. And the first thing that the nurse said was, I'm so sorry. And I just threw the phone down. And I won't get into what happened after that, because as you can imagine, it was a lot of grief. It was a lot of disbelief. I was angry at my angels and spirit guides and God. I was mad. I was so furious at all of it. I was so mad. And so was John. And honestly, Jackson was too, because we had really believed it so much that we wanted him on board with this experience as well. It was so weird to grieve someone that I had never met. So through the grieving process, you know, I had moments where I was great. And then, you know, I was at a child's birthday party for a neighbor, a young girl, and I ran out in a panic attack because it was too much for me. And it took many, many months to get over that. And I got a bracelet made if you've ever heard of the brand Mantra Bands, M-A-N-T-R-A, they make these bands with just great mantras on them. And so I got one, and I'm going to butcher this because it's in French, that says La vie est belle, which means life is beautiful. And I wear it every day. So as I continued my healing, I let go of the anger and I realized what was of the highest good actually did take place. And that had Zoe not presented herself to me in those sessions, I would have never gone through another transfer protocol as gracefully or easily as I did. And I would have never known that that embryo was a girl. But I do feel at peace now. So that all happened in October of 2024. I'm recording this in April of 2025. And I now know what she meant when she said that I'm here to help you or help finish your life's work. Because a different sense of being and power has come over me in the past 5 or 6 months. She helped me find my power. She helped me turn my light back on. She helped me realize that I am a vessel. My mouth is just the instrument for what needs to flow through me to you. She is with me in every talk I do, every keynote, every workshop. She is with me on every episode that you listen to here. She is my daughter. And it's not what we thought family would look like. We actually planned a trip because we were sad and grieving to Germany and Austria over the holidays between Christmas and New Year's. And we went to Austria and we climbed this mountain. This was all John's idea. And it was like this 7,000-foot mountain that you had to take 3 gondolas up and then you could climb at the very top to the top peak. And John said, you know, I'm going to go climb it. I'll see you guys back down when I finish. And Jackson looks at him and goes, no, Dad, we're coming with you. And let me just say, I did not say yes, okay? But I strapped up my boots and I basically crab walked up and down the mountain because I was so terrified. It was icy. It was scary. And about midway up, I felt this sense of peace. And I just knew she was with us. And it was like, you know what? A metaphor for life. Like we had to climb that mountain. We had to get to the summit together. But at the very top, she is with us always. And when we got to the top, there was a cross at the top of this mountain. It's so beautiful. I mean, it is in Austria. Innsbruck, Austria is where we took the picture. And as we were getting back down and we took the gondola rides back down the mountain, I got a text from a friend of mine who is basically a chiropractor, but also a healer, a medium, if you will, a medical medium. And he sent me a text, just Happy New Year, because it was New Year's Day when we were doing this. And I said, Happy New Year to you. We just climbed this mountain. And I sent him the picture of me and John and Jackson in front of the cross at the highest peak of this 7,000-foot mountain in Innsbruck, Austria. And he goes, text me back and said, wow, what a beautiful angelic butterfly to the left of the cross. So I'm zooming in on the photo. I'm looking all in the clouds for like a tiny little speck of a butterfly because I love butterflies. They've always been my life symbol. And I texted him, hey, I can't find the butterfly. Where is it? And then I look at the clouds. The clouds next to the cross, to the left of the cross, literally formed what was like the caterpillar of the butterfly with 2 wings on either side of it. And I knew in my heart that that was her and that my family is complete. So I tell you this story because I want you to know that through it all, I was still leading a team. I was still stepping on this microphone. I was still stepping on stages. Grief and leadership can coexist. You can be heartbroken and you can still show up. Eventually, I did tell my team what was going on. but I find my work very healing. So I was able to show up here. I also want you to know, for you, anybody listening, healing is not linear. And sometimes our answers come in the most unexpected places. And for me, it was on the top of a mountain in Innsbruck, Austria, where I saw exactly what I needed to see to let me know that this is my journey and I'm on the right path. And I also want you to know and take away from this story that your definition of family is yours alone. There is no right way to build it or complete it. So for John and I, we now know that our family is complete. We are so proud of Jackson and how we got him to this earth. Zoe is with us every single day. And even though she's not my earth child, I know that one day our souls will meet. So I want you to know, my peeps, if you are in this space, whether you've walked this road or you know someone who has, I see you. You are not alone. Infertility, whether primary or secondary, is a journey of resilience and love and redefining what family looks like. And if you are struggling, please know this. You are worthy of joy. You are worthy of healing. And your story matters. I am sending you so much love. Thank you for listening. If today resonated with you, send me a little message and I'll send you some love right back. I want you, as always, to keep playing, keep leading. Know that every workday is a playdate waiting to happen. And I'll see you next time.